I'm with the Fairbanks School of Public Health in Indianapolis. I'm also a PhD student as well as an employee of the school. I'm going to talk today about a health impact assessment that we did as part of Dr. Stone's health impact assessment class in a low-income urban neighborhood, and it addressed the impact of locating a full-service grocery store. And I'm not sure I know how to make these go. Right here? No? Okay, yay. Okay, the aims of our project were to conduct a health impact assessment, to project potential health effects of establishing a full-service grocery store in the Avondale Meadows, otherwise known as the Meadows neighborhood, and to also build capacity in our area for conducting health impact assessments. Our partners in the project were the Marion County Public Health Department, as well as the I. Richard M. Fairbanks School of Public Health, residents of the Avondale Meadows community were partners, as well as the Indiana Minority Health Coalition, which graciously provided funding for our project. The purpose was to inform the Meadows Foundation and their strategic partners that were already engaged in redevelopment in the neighborhood, to also inform the Indianapolis City Council, who was considering a tax increment financing district proposal to attract a national grocery store. A TIF is a mechanism to promote economic development in which new businesses can forego paying taxes for a few years, and once they do, those tax dollars stay within the neighborhood to create more economic development. And also to inform the residents of the Meadows neighborhood. The Meadows is a low-income, primarily African-American neighborhood in Indianapolis, and it has been declared a food desert by the USDA. Sorry, not but the USDA, but by the USDA. Just in case you are not familiar with the process of health impact assessment, these are the six steps that go along with each one. First is the screening, which is sort of a process of determining how valuable a health impact assessment will be. The scoping phase, which, as it indicates, determines the scope of the project, what kind of analysis you will do, the impacts you evaluate in your work plan. The assessment is actually the process itself, and it provides a look at what the existing health conditions are in this neighborhood, and also the evaluation of potential health impacts of whatever program you're planning on implementing. Recommendations, of course, are the strategies that come out of the health impact assessment, and they are to help if there are adverse health impacts, how to manage those, and also what benefits may happen as a result of the project. Reporting includes the development of the actual report after the assessment is completed, as well as who you communicate those findings and recommendations to, the communication plan. Monitoring tracks what happens after the report is released. So what is the decision-making process that happens after that, and what is the actual decision, and what happens as a result of the decision. So we did our initial screening with the Indianapolis Department of Metropolitan Development, and indeed everybody agreed that this might be a valuable thing for the community. The scoping step was conducted with key informant interviews, stakeholders. We had a stakeholders meeting and did a scoping workshop with them to determine the scope of the project. And these are some of the findings that we found through those processes, that residents do indeed want a full-service grocery store, that people have to drive too far to get to a full-service grocery store. They want to know why healthy food is important, how to prepare it. They want to, and price and quality, of course, are very important to them. And the perceptions of where actually what the boundaries of the Meadows community are is sort of ambiguous, and so we get a lot of variation in what people reported. And also, the Cub Foods incident left kind of a lasting impression. Cub Foods had actually placed a grocery store in the Meadows, but then closed, and there was kind of a not really a myth, but sort of the common thinking was that it was because there was a lot of crime or the community didn't support it. And the residents felt, you know, had a lot of bad feelings about that, when the reality was Cubs was closing a lot of stores in that time due to, you know, financial issues. And also it was just not a good match for the community because Cub Foods, as you may know, people buy in bulk, And this was a group that didn't buy in bulk. They shop frequently. They shop in small amounts. And so that left a really, it left a bad taste in the minds of people in the community. We have 5 research questions that we addressed. Is there a relationship between the availability of healthy foods and health outcomes, such as obesity, high blood pressure, and diabetes? This may seem like no-brainers to the people in public health, but it was our goal to really prove to people who were not in public health what the value of these things were. So is there a relationship between access to healthy foods and consuming healthy foods? Is there reasonable access to healthy foods in the Meadows community? And what is the current status of the Meadows community population in areas where it relates to nutrition? And do community residents believe they have a reasonable access to healthy foods in their community? For the first research question, we did a literature review. We learned that the presence of convenience stores is associated with higher rates of obesity and overweight. Everybody knows that as obesity increases, rates of diabetes increase, that foods needed for maintenance of diabetes are less likely to be available in African-American communities, and that higher rates of coronary health disease are associated with those living in deprived neighborhoods. Oops. In terms of the relationship between healthy foods, access to health foods, and consumptions, we learned that people living in low-income neighborhoods eat fewer servings of fruits, vegetables, and fish, more servings of meat per day. Residents living in neighborhoods without stores that carry more than 5 dark green and orange vegetables consumed an average of 0.17 fewer servings per day. That participants who had no supermarkets within a mile of their home were 25% less likely to follow a healthy diet. Remember that mile figure. In order to determine what the access was for the residents of the Meadows community, we used the Nutrition Environment Measures Survey, which was a survey developed by Karen Glanz at the University of Pennsylvania. It's been heavily tested for inter-rater reliability. Myself and another partner on our team went through a 20-hour training to learn how to administer this survey. They have one for stores, and they also have one for restaurants. So we selected that survey to use and implement it. And in the area where we were looking, there were 11 convenience stores, and only 10 of them agreed to be surveyed, though. And of those, 6 stores were gas stations, or convenience stores associated with gas stations, and 4 were other types of convenience stores. The stores stocked an average of 6.1 healthy food items out of 30 on the survey. And we had one outlier, which was Walgreens drugstore. And as you know, in the last couple of years, Walgreens has started making an effort to sell more healthy food. So if we took Walgreens out of there, the average dropped to 4.4 items. I think the only 2 items that everybody reliably had across the board were 100% juice and diet soda. Those were the only 2. One store sold fresh fruits and vegetables, and I put fresh in quotes because they were, you know, they were like lettuce and things, but they were not fresh fruit. The quality was not good. 2 others only sold apples or oranges. The fruits were much more expensive, buying them one at a time, as opposed to what you would do if you bought it at the grocery store. Only half the store stocked low sugar cereal, and the stores were just not clean, and the quality of produce was not poor. For many of the stores. To establish the health status of the population in the Meadows, we looked at mortality rates and compared them with the Meadows for the total Marion County rates. And as you can see, there for diabetes, hypertension, ischemic heart disease, cerebrovascular disease, they're all higher in the Meadows, all of them. We also looked at hospital emergency department discharges during 2009-2011. The first 2 columns are hospitalization rates for the Meadows and the county. Second 2 are emergency department discharges. And you can see, again, across the board, these numbers are all higher in the Meadows. And we used the AHRQ Medical Expenditures Panel survey to kind of estimate what the cost of disease was in these areas, and you can see it was over $500,000 annually. These are some of the major findings from the health status numbers that we were able to retrieve thanks to the Marion County Health Department. The mortality for cerebral vascular disease was 27% higher. The diabetes mortality was 41% higher, and hypertension was 70% higher amongst Meadows citizens. Hospitalization rates are 12% higher for ischemic heart disease, 47% higher for cerebral vascular disease, 48% higher for diabetes, 113% higher for hypertension. So as you can see, they were much higher in the neighborhood than they were in the county in general, and the county in general really doesn't have good health status either. But it was significantly worse. We also conducted a neighborhood survey to figure out if people thought they had access to healthy foods or not. We were interested in where people currently shopped, what foods they chose, how much they spend, how often they ate out, and they got a $5 gift card for answering our survey questions. And we administered those outside of the pharmacy, at a school parent night, neighborhood association meetings, adult education center, and public library. And here you can see the demographics of our sample. Age range is pretty wide, 18 to 92, mean age 48.08. Mostly females, and mostly there were households with children. This is what they told us. 34%, which in this community of 25,000 people could be about 8,000 people, said they were unable to get the food they needed. 40% reported shopping more than once a week, many at multiple locations, which we learned from the literature was an adaptive behavior to not having good food access called grocery hopping. 24% were unable to travel outside the neighborhood to shop. 93% articulated strong support for full-service grocery. They thought it would also bring jobs and pride to the community. 54% said it would change their shopping patterns. Some people even talked about walking to the grocery store. Responses indicated a healthy demand for fresh produce. They listed 41 different types of fruits and vegetables that they would buy if they had access to them, and a total of 276 times. Some more results from the neighborhood survey. Women reported purchasing healthier food than men. Children in the household did not impact exposure to healthy foods or the number of healthy foods purchased. And residents under 30 ate or at more fast food stores each week. So those facts made us quite nervous in terms of healthy foods consumed. This is where they told us they shopped. A couple of Kroger stores, Walmart, Aldi, which is, and Safeway. All of them, as you can see, a distance of 2 miles or more, essentially. So, flies right in the face of the research that we came across that said if the store is within a mile of people's home, that they will eat, they will consume more. And it just makes perfect sense. I mean, fresh fruits and vegetables, you know, expire fast, so you need to be able to have easy access to the grocery store. So, but these folks were traveling an average of 3.22 miles to the five most frequently mentioned grocery stores. So our assessment concluded that there is a positive relationship between a healthy diet and prevention of hypertension, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease. There is a positive relationship between access and consumption of fresh fruits and vegetables. There were very few healthy food options in the Meadows, and what was available was very expensive. And the Meadows residents have higher rates of chronic diseases, morbidity, and mortality than the county at large. We also concluded that a grocery store would probably increase the amount of healthy food that people would eat, decrease incidence of diabetes, cardiovascular disease, decrease direct costs of these diseases, improve community pride and well-being. These are recommendations and some of them are more based on what can we do right now without a grocery store, and then some of them are also based on what things would be like if there was a grocery store. Like, for instance, seek out partners to offer more healthy food in existing stores. This sort of addresses the current situation. Support expanded transit and sidewalks so people could get to those grocery stores that were farther away, share data with stakeholders to continue to support the TIF or other mechanism for economic development. And then secure the right footprint for the grocery. Get the right kind of grocery store in there that people are going to be able to shop. Not too big, not too small, not in bulk. Some that suits that neighborhood. Negotiate with the grocery store to also provide things like cooking classes, a pharmacy, labeling for healthy foods. You know, sometimes healthy foods can be tagged in grocery stores so that people can easily recognize what those are, you know, and don't pay attention to the marketing efforts. In terms of reporting, we submitted the report to the funder and presented at their annual research symposium. We submitted to the State Health Department. We distributed to the project stakeholder group. We posted on our website at the school. Project personnel presented at the National Health Impact Assessment and the International Health Impact Assessment Conference in Geneva, Switzerland. And one project leader, Dr. Stone, testified before the Indianapolis City Council and was also interviewed by local news media as well. We worked very closely with a city councilor that this district was in her area, this area was in her district, I should say. And she said she shared it with the report with the council, with the mayor. She said she discussed it virtually in every conversation about grocery store, which, she participated. Also, the TIF passed almost a year after the release of our report, so that sort of lays the groundwork for trying to recruit a grocery store in the area. And the report was also used by the City of Indianapolis in market tax credit applications to the U.S. Department of Treasury. The Meadows developer, who Strategic Growth Partners is their name, used their findings in community presentations, shared it with their national network called Purposeful Communities. They intend to use it in negotiating with the grocery store. And we've also developed some programming around around cooking education in the Meadows and the Marion County community. Okay, thank you.